that her body was fighting it because her jaw had hardened and her lungs were insisting on steady breaths. The feeling of descending as the elevator began to lower only made the whole thing worse. The distance between her and Connor was increasing too quickly for her to deal with. A part of her regretted ever letting him back into her life, but another part of her couldn't bring herself to wish away the good laughs they'd had. Of course, the infatuated teenager in her couldn't understand why she was leaving him. She believed that she should be wherever he was, and she was heading for a breakdown. But the mature side of her, who had moved past what Nick and his gang and Matthew had done, was resolute that she would get past this, too. Was reminding her that, sure, it was painful, but pain was a part of life. She hadn't taken more than 4 steps out of the elevator when her mobile phone began chiming. She dug it out of her bag and frowned at the screen. Tony. She really didn't want to speak to anyone right now. She wasn't even sure that any words would come out, at least not without her sounding like she had a frog jammed in her throat. The tears were so close. But this was Tony, someone who had done so much for her, rented out his annex to her, and was even going to take care of her dog for her. She'd phone him back in a minute when she was feeling more composed. Canceling the call, she switched off her phone, flung it into her bag, and made her way to the emergency exit. Chino was there as usual and gave her a curious look as he spotted the suitcase. Still, he politely held open the door and did his usual bye salute. Only this time, as if he knew it was a permanent goodbye, he added a smile and a wave. She returned the smile and continued through the alleyway, striving to ignore that the ache in her esophagus was now amazingly more prominent and that the pressure in her chest was so heavy she could hardly breathe. It just felt so wrong to walk away from him. Her brain told her it was the smart thing to do, but her soul was crying out for her to retrace her steps until she was back in Connor's apartment. Shaking her head at herself, she picked up her pace and swerved sharply around the corner, passing the garbage bins. Then she abruptly stopped dead at the sight in front of her. Ant. A curved blade.
Sorry to interrupt your quick getaway, but it sort of clashes with my agenda, said the scratchy, pitiless voice that belonged to the twat holding a blade to Ant's throat.
You.
Yes, you really should have guessed it was me. I can see by your face that you didn't. What, you thought I wouldn't be clever enough to go around undetected like that? I'm offended.
Seething, she had to grind her teeth to stop herself from barking a string of curses. She spared a few fleeting glimpses at Ant, not wanting to take her eyes off her stalker for very long. The poor kid was sweating, shaking, and biting on his trembling lower lip. Yeah, she could well relate to the fear of having the decision of whether you'd live or die in the hands of someone else. This wasn't a first time for her, but if her stalker's expression was anything to go by, the plan was that this would be her last. She wanted to tell Ant it was going to be all right, that she wouldn't let him be hurt, but she couldn't show too much concern for him in front of the twat.
Nice kid, said the stalker. Bugging his house helped a lot with keeping track of what you were up to. As soon as I heard his dad talking about you leaving early, I knew I'd have to make my move. I predicted that you wouldn't cooperate, so I brought along a damsel for you to save. You never could resist them, could you? You know, I was hoping that you would go back to his annex after I'd strafed your place. That would have made it a lot easier to get to you, and there wouldn't have been any nice CCTV footage of me hurling you out. Not like with your apartment building, but you went and stayed with him. At least you've been so kind as to use the side exit when no one's around. The camera's no longer functional, in case you were wondering. You know, I don't get why women flock around that bastard. Is it the danger vibe that you like?
The malicious smile widened.
I've got a danger vibe myself, and you're about to find out just how bad it is. First, I need you to make your way to that Navy Ford Escort car just behind the other set of bins. Bring your stuff with you. Don't worry. Me and Aunt will be right behind you.
Jackson shook her head. Not a chance. I've seen this film. The victim does as she's told, but the hostage still gets hurt once his roll's up. I'll go with you, but only if you let him go first. Before you ask, no, I'm not expecting you to just let him run crying for help. Tie him up and knock him unconscious if you must, but his roll ends now. She knew she was taking a chance here, but she could see how eager the stalker was to get hold of her. She was the objective in all this, and she was so close. The thing that the stalker had been building up to was so close to fruition. Her stalker laughed.
How is it that you're the one making demands when I'm the one with the knife?
Anyone can pick up a knife. That doesn't make you terrifying to me. Having said that, I want to live, so for as long as you're pointing it at me, I'll have to do as I'm told. But you're not pointing it at me, are you? The stalker hissed. She had a point, the bitch. Besides, placing this knife against her throat was the fantasy. It wasn't so surprising that she'd guessed that the plan hadn't been for the kid to run along home unharmed. In fact, the plan had been for the hostage to stick around a lot longer just to ensure she was a good girl. Seeing how torn the stalker was over the idea of giving up a tool in the plan, she asked, "Do you want me to do as I'm told because he's in danger?" "That'll only mean that most of my attention is on him. I would have thought you would want my full attention." She shrugged. "Up to you."
"Yes, it is up to me. And you'll do as you're told because I'm the one in control."
"Then control me. Or do you need to use a teenage boy to have that dominance over me?" Knowing time was of the essence, the stalker made a quick decision.
"You try to run and I'll slit his throat."
So abruptly that she almost jumped, the stalker used the butt of the knife to whack Ant over his head. He fell in an unconscious heap on the floor. She resisted the urge to sigh in relief. A bad headache and a lump would beat a slit throat any day of the week. Knowing better than to test her stalker, she didn't run nor did she fight when she was roughly grabbed and the knife was then put to her own throat.
"Now we go for a little drive. Are you ready for this?"
"Yes."
"Yes, what?"
"Yes, Sean." He smiled approvingly.
"That's my good girl. I have a feeling today is going to make up for what I missed out on 8 years ago. Let's find out, shall we?"
If it had been any other woman, Ollie wouldn't be surprised by the fact that he had been waiting 25 minutes instead of the 15 she'd said she would need. But Jackson didn't dilly-dally or spend ages color-coordinating her stuff, nor was she the type who would pack everything with the utmost precision. That could only mean that she and Mackenzie were having some kind of row. Maybe she'd told him she was leaving for New York and he had lost the plot over her jetting off again. Or maybe he was dumping her and she was putting his bollocks through some serious pain. On the other hand, maybe they were shagging like rabbits. Whatever the reason, he was tired of waiting. Sighing, he fished out his mobile phone from the pocket of his jeans and tried calling her. No answer. Her phone was switched off. He was just about to jump out of the car and go fetch her personally when something collided into the side of the car. His eyes insisted what he was seeing wasn't real. Ant, with blood trickling down one side of his face, pressed against the window, banging his fist on it and mumbling something too fast for Ollie to understand in a somewhat hysterical voice. Ollie leaned over and unlocked the door, and Ant slid in beside him, panting.
"What the hell happened to you?"
And why was he even there?
"Someone has... Jackson." "What?" "A stalker. He has a..."
It all came out in a rush.
"He took me from outside my house and brought me here to use as a hostage, but she wouldn't go with him unless he let me go first. He thought he'd knocked me unconscious, but he hadn't. I faked it. And now he has her."
Panic like nothing Ollie had ever before experienced blast through his system.
"I'm gonna kill the bastard."
The hammering on the front door snapped Connor out of his reverie. Jax? Was she back? Lightning fast, he was at the door, swinging it open. Only to find Ollie and Tony's son looking back at him. It wasn't until the kid quickly looked away, red in the face, that Connor realized he was still naked. And that the kid was holding a bloody tissue to his head.
What the... You still have the bugs on, Jackson?
Asked Ollie as he barged in, uncaring of Mackenzie's indecent state. Ollie was the one who had kept Jackson distracted while Mackenzie and his mate planted the trackers.
What's happened?
He was already searching out his phone to get in touch with his mate and find out her location.
It's a stalker. He had Ant at first, but he doesn't know much about him except that he drives a Navy Ford Escort and that Jackson called him Sean.
The bottom fell out of Connor's stomach.
What did this Sean look like?
Ant shrugged.
Mousy hair. His face had acne scars all over it. They already knew each other. He said something about finally getting to do what he tried to do 8 years ago.
Fuck.
As the boot door flew open and the dim morning light met her eyes again, Jackson squinted. The bastard had kept her squashed in this stuffy, oily space, whistling away like he didn't have a woman curled up in the rear of his car with tape over her mouth and a thin rope pinning her wrists behind her back. He also had a rope for her ankles but hadn't tied them up. He said he'd wasted enough time already and needed to get her away quickly. And now here they were. At an old warehouse? Oh, how original. Yes, she should be taking this more seriously as opposed to rolling her eyes as though she was dealing with a toddler who was having an extremely bad tantrum. But she had been the victim how many times before? She was just so tired of it now. So tired of being played with like she was some toy. So tired of being a vessel for someone else to practice their dominance levels on. So tired of people wanting to have control or power over her. It was all so familiar and mentally draining that she couldn't find it in herself to panic. It was anger, infuriation, and loathing that was prevailing over all else. Besides, the bastard wanted her to be a quivering wreck, and if he thought she would give him what he wanted, he was very mistaken.
I was going to take you to the alleyway where we almost had our fun last time,
he told her as he peeled the tape from her mouth, giving her a quick kiss. Before she could spit at him, he twirled her around and, knife at her throat again, roughly guided her into the musty, dull building.
But I figured you'd be a noisy one, and there was no chance I was letting anything stop me this time around.
Jackson managed not to gag at the way he was sniffing her hair and licking her neck. So that's what all this is about. One act of sexual rape that you never got a chance to commit? He roughly grabbed her breast, just like he had last time.
Oh, there's plenty more to it than that.
Oh, do tell.
He snickered at her attitude. Even in a situation like this, she came out with smart remarks.
Do you know how old I was when I first decided I was going to have you? 12. You and your sister turned up with a social worker at Nick's uncle's house. I said to Nick, that one's mine. You hardly even looked at me.
And that was because she had felt the callousness pouring off him and Nick in waves. So had Leah. A girl who was never one to stay away from a boy had stayed well clear of those two and the rest of their little gang.
You know, when I was 12 and I was in a pet shop with Leah, I pointed to a big white rabbit at the back and said, I want that. I never got it. Do you see me chasing after this sodding thing 8 years later?
Always the comedian,
he grumbled as he urged her quickly up a flight of stairs.
I can promise you that you won't be laughing or making jokes in a minute when I've got you underneath me. You know, I'm not sure what will turn me on more, you screaming in pleasure or in pain. Probably pain.
You haven't got the equipment to make me scream, she scoffed.
Yes, she was pushing his buttons. What was the point in behaving herself? The result would be the same no matter how she behaved. He tugged painfully on her hair.
What was that?
I got a glimpse of your Jimmy that day in the alley. You're about as well hung as a gerbil.
You cheeky bitch.
On finally reaching the second floor, where he kept a mattress for when he brought any girls here, he shoved her toward it. Unfortunately, she didn't stumble and fall like he'd expected.
Always so bloody awkward. That's why you have to use a knife to get a girl to go with you. You've nothing to offer her that'll make her come to you.
He snickered.
Trying to make me snap, Jackson, so I'll slit your throat in a fury and then this will all be over.
She frowned. That's actually not a bad plan. Why is it that I hadn't thought of that, but you did with your two brain cells?
You make out like I'm stupid, and yet I've managed to follow you around and mess with your life without being spotted. Did you know that I'm not the only one who follows you about? I saw quite a few watchers while I was tailing you. They weren't so discreet. Even that ant kid is obsessed with you. I used to always see him peeking into the windows of the annex of a night, trying to catch you getting undressed. I could have saved him the bother and told him how you always close the curtains. Why do you think I kept robbing them when you were living in the flat?
That was you?
Oh, yeah. But then you had to go and get yourself famous, and I had to hunt you down when I wanted to see you. I had to hunt down what's mine. Can you believe that?
I'm yours because you claimed me with your eyes when I was 12? She asked incredulously, but he ignored her.
You were off in a different world then, me forgotten. You had your money and your new car and your designer gear and your celebrity friends. Me? I had nothing. Not even Celia and that kid of mine to keep me entertained.
Best news I've heard all week.
Then you had the nerve to actually leave the country. You went on your big posh holiday and even had Mackenzie join you.
He growled.
Mackenzie. Now that is a man I hate. You always ran to him, always gave him that big smile. Never once did you look at me like that.
He honestly found that confusing?
But him... You looked at him like the sun shone out of his arse.
Shit. He was starting to advance on her with baby steps now. She didn't want to back away from him. That would take her closer to the blood-stained mattress. But to go to the side would take her dangerously close to the gaping hole in the floorboards.
Yeah, you shagged him over and over like the little slut you are. I watched you that time in the woods, you know.
He smirked at her gasp.
I even kept that thong you left behind.
Somehow, that seemed like one of the worst things he'd done. You perverted bastard.
I wanted to kill him that day. Both of you, actually. It shocked me that, wanting to kill you. I'd never wanted to hurt you before.
Her mouth fell open.
You tried to rape me.
He shrugged and waved a hand as if that was somehow different. Now it was her who was feeling homicidal.
I'm pretty sure even the devil himself would be disgusted by you.
I'd have thought you would be calling me the Antichrist.
I wouldn't give you that much credit. You're not all big and powerful, Sean, which you already know, otherwise you wouldn't have that knife in your hand.
You don't like my knife?
He held it up and admired it lovingly.
I enjoy caressing my girls from head to toe with it. I think you might like it. You did in my fantasies, anyway.
If you really have this big plan to have your wicked way with me, why try to poison me with those chocolates?
I just wanted you ill so that you couldn't go on tour. Then I found out that not only had you not eaten them, but you were sneaking off early. Did you honestly think I'd let that happen? That I'd let you get away from me again?
He seemed to genuinely want an answer. Going by the fact that you kidnapped me and brought me here, I'm going to say no.
I had planned to have this place set up all nice, but you went and forced my hand. I had to act quickly before you were halfway across the world. I wasn't ready yet.
Sorry, I know the feeling of people messing about with your schedule.
She took slow, subtle steps toward the hole.
This bravado won't wash with me, Jackson. I know you're scared.
Sean, I'd like you to consider this for a minute. You've been following me without showing your face. You've been leaving notes like some juvenile. You broke into my apartment but then scuttled off into your little hole. You've been acting like some sort of peeping Tom, and then not only did you use a kid to try to get me to do what you wanted, but you've tied my wrists so I can't defend myself. The picture I'm getting from that is of one bloody big coward. Forgive me for not feeling the need to quiver.
You should be quivering. Not only do I intend to force my way inside you and plow into you while you fight me and scream, but I'm going to do it over and over, until you bleed.
A malicious grin dominated his face.
Ever taken it up the arse, Jackson? You will tonight. I can guarantee you'll bleed then. Maybe I'll invite Nick round when I've had my fill of you.
I think you better act just to make up for your gerbil dick.
Maybe I'll even invite the other lads too. What do you think? Would you like a nice big reunion?
You just can't move past that failed rape in the alleyway, can you?
That afternoon would never have happened anyway if you had just chosen me in the beginning over Mackenzie.
Anger and disbelief swirled through Jackson.
What?
You knew I wanted you. You knew...
Hang on a minute. At what point did our roles reverse and you became the victim?
You chose him,
he shouted, spittle shooting out of his mouth.
You looked down on me.
Oh, you can stop right there with that talk. No way am I letting you blame me for what you tried to do to me back then. You did that because you wanted to. It was never that you wanted me. No, you didn't want a girlfriend. You wanted me crying in pain while you forced me to do whatever you wanted. And that's because you're a sick twat.
A smirk spread across Sean's face as he watched her steady herself at the edge of the hole. She'd be able to see now what he already knew. There was an almost identical hole in the floor below, as if something extremely heavy had once crashed through both floors. She wasn't going anywhere, and she knew it. He cracked his knuckles.
Just think, I'm about to finally get what I've been wanting.
He was expecting a snarl, but he got a smile.
Something amusing about that.
It's just that I haven't the faintest idea why you would think you're getting what you want.
When she peered down at the drop, he understood.
You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't pick the coward's way out.
It's not about being a coward. It's about bringing a dramatic early end to your plan. If falling to my death means I get to stop you from having what you want, I'll happily do it.
No, it couldn't be happening again. He couldn't stand this feeling of being so close but so bloody far. She was right there. He finally had her. No, he wasn't going to let her rob him of this. Not a chance would he let her. He abruptly reached out to grab Jackson, but he hadn't known a few things. He hadn't known that she was expecting this, that this was what she wanted him to do, that she, in fact, had no intention of leaping to her death. And there was something else. Sean hadn't known what had happened with Matthew. Every time Matthew had touched her, he'd tied her hands behind her back first. She had never been able to figure out whether that was a precaution or if he'd just liked it that way, but Jackson had hated that feeling of being totally helpless. She'd learned over time how to untie that knot, but never had she freed her hands. It hadn't been that she intended to fight back. It had been so that she then had that small knowledge that she wasn't helpless. It helped remind her that she was allowing it to happen. She was doing it for Annie. But right now, the only person she had to protect was herself. Her movements were just as quick as his. She flung out her arms like they were wings and sharply sprung to the side. As she'd hoped, he lost his balance and fell flat on his stomach, leaving from his head to halfway down his torso dangling over the hole. He dropped the knife and it fell through the hole, hitting the floor below with a clang. He could have easily slid himself backwards out of harm's way, if Jackson hadn't sat on his legs, keeping a firm grip on him.
"Now, I haven't seen this film," she said. "Usually the victim makes a run for it when she gets her opening, doesn't she? Then the killer chases her and eventually closes in on her, delivering the killing blow."
Sean attempted to struggle, trying to buck her off him, but then stopped abruptly when the floorboards beneath him creaked.
"I don't feel like running, Sean. I ran last time, and look what happened. You came after me. How old was I back then? 14? Is that how old all the other girls were? Or were they even younger, like your daughter?"
He grunted when she dug her fingers into his legs.
"Get off me!"
"Hurting any kid is vile, but your own daughter, Sean? How could you do it?"
"Get off me!"
"Shall I tell you how? Because you're certifiably evil. Oh, I'm not saying you were born evil. No, because that would be the same as saying that you can't help the things you do, and that is part of your makeup. No, you're evil because you choose to do such cruel, disgusting things."
He gritted his teeth against the pain of the cracked floorboard digging into his chest.
"Get off me, you bitch."
"Are you sure you want me to do that? There's a good chance that if I do, you'll topple to your death."
"Get off me!"
"Doesn't feel good being helpless, does it?" she growled. "It turns out you're not so big and bad without your knife."
"You bitch, I'm going to fucking kill you."
"You know, that's really not the way to get in my good books and make me consider letting you up and thereby live. I could so easily shove you down that hole, and you know it."
He sniggered.
"You wouldn't kill me. You're a lot of things, Jackson."
"Oh, you mean like a slut, a bitch, a slag?"
"But you haven't got it in you to take someone's life."
"Maybe you're right. But then, maybe you're not."
"If I were you, I'd run so far, so fast."
"How can you not realize how ridiculous you sound threatening me right now?"
She dug her fingers into his legs again, wrenching another grunt from him. She could tell he was in some serious pain. He was shaking from the effort to keep his upper body from dangling, and his hands were bleeding from where he was clinging to the broken, spiky boards.
"Would you like me to move off you so you can get up? I'll want something from you."
"Oh, yeah?"
he snickered.
"Yeah. I'll need you to apologize to me for everything you've done."
"Fuck you."
"Sorry, that plan's already been foiled. Let's instead hear you say a great big sorry."
His words came out through gritted teeth.
"Get off me, bitch."
Jackson sighed loudly.
"This is very disappointing, but you know, Sean, even if you were sorry, and I genuinely believe that you'd never, ever, ever hurt another kid ever again, that you'd never take another girl's innocence away, that you'd never beat up or rape another woman or hurt any human being ever again, it just wouldn't be bloody good enough."
She punctuated that by digging her fingers into his legs again.
"You want a promise? I'll make you a promise. I swear I'm going to fuck every hole you have in your body, and then I'm going to slit your throat. Now get the hell off me."
"If you insist."
With that, she sharply stood to her feet and moved away. Having lost her body weight, he toppled over, hoarsely crying out. There was then a loud thud. Jackson walked carefully to the edge and peeked over. Sean was perfectly still, sprawled on his back. She couldn't tell whether he was still alive or unconscious. She should care, but she didn't. How many lives had he ruined? How much innocence had he stolen? It had been a case of her life or his, and she'd choose her own over a bastard's like that any day. As her body sagged in relief, she backed up a few steps and lowered herself to the ground. There she sat, breathing through the madness in her mind and regaining her sense of composure. It could have been seconds or minutes or hours later when she became distantly aware of noises and voices. And then a set of arms wrapped around her, and she was hurled to her feet and crushed against someone's chest. she knew who it was, and she hugged him back just as fiercely. The next few minutes passed in a sort of blur. Connor and Ollie both fussed around her before being pushed aside by a paramedic. He examined her and, satisfied she was fine but might need a needle for the shock, handed her back to Connor. A team of police officers and paramedics went into the warehouse, and an unconscious and badly injured Sean was brought out on a stretcher. Connor and Ollie both expressed their wish that he died before reaching the hospital. While she remained in the area cordoned off with tape from the public, she was asked dozens of questions by different people until she finally reached her limit and told the male officer who was now in front of her that if he liked his bollocks, he should consider shutting his trap and moving out of her way.
"That means she's fine," said Ollie.
He'd make sure she stayed that way, just as he would next time. Because sadly, there would be a next time. Many next times. It was, unfortunately, the price that came with this life. He knew from the business he was in just how much power people believed came with beauty. They seemed to believe that if you were beautiful, things could come easy. More often, you had to put up with bitterness, envy, pettiness, and even obsessions. As such, celebs were often stalking targets. He wouldn't be surprised if Jackson had more than just Sean stalking her.
"I'm going to call Richie. Let him know you're all right."
Connor ran his hand through her hair as he held her to him. Just the thought that she could be dead right now. He felt sick.
"You sure you're all right?"
He felt her nod against his chest.
"Come on. I don't want you standing round here any longer. Will you come back to my apartment with me?"
He held his breath as he waited for her answer. She peered up into his eyes. "I can't," she whispered. She knew nothing had changed for him. Why would it? Maybe if this was a Hollywood film, Connor would now be declaring something corny, like coming so close to losing her had made him see exactly how much he cared for her, and now he wasn't prepared to let her go. Blah, blah, blah. But Connor's decision to not have his own family had been made before they even met. It was a decision that she didn't know the real reason behind, but she knew enough to know that it would take someone very special to get him past whatever it was, and that person wasn't her. He dropped his forehead to hers and sighed.
"Jax, I do care about you."
"Oh, no." She tried to leave his arms, but he tightened his hold and mashed his lips with hers. For once, it wasn't a kiss of hunger. It was a kiss filled with feeling and adoration and a hint of desperation. But that affection was just like a slap in the face because it was nowhere near enough. The verbal equivalent of this moment would have been for her to say, "I love you," and for him to say, "Thank you," or, "I love spending time with you." Jackson tore her lips free and stepped away. "Will you promise me something?" He said nothing, but she continued. "I want you to promise me that you won't get in touch. No texts, no calls, no surprise visits."
"Jax,
I want to get on with my life, Connor. I want to face this head on, like I'm going to do with what happened with Sean and like I do with everything else. But I can't do that if you're popping in and out of my life whenever your addiction gets too much."
"You honestly think we can cut each other out of our lives just like that?"
He'd always known it would have to be this way. Always. But now that it was actually happening, his mind, body, and soul were fighting it. "Are you saying you can give me more than casual?" It was a rhetorical question, but when he didn't say no, she was surprised. She refused to let hope well up inside her this time, though. "Well?" The words came out hoarse.
"I can't."
"Then yes, I can just cut you out." And for the second time that day, she walked away from the bloke she loved. Chapter 20 Connor had never actually talked to a dog before, not like this. It turned out that they were good listeners. Bronte had lay on the sofa, peering up at him with an almost worshipping look, as if every word that came from Connor's mouth was a pearl of perfect wisdom. Even better, there was no judgmental crap. He could easily tell the dog how he was missing Jax, how he couldn't look at his kitchen counter without thinking about the time he'd lain her on it and shagged her senseless, how a shower was no longer relaxing because it only made him think of the mornings they had spent in it, how every time he sat on the sofa, he remembered the time she'd rode him on it so hard his dick should have snapped. Worse, Connor couldn't stop dreaming about her night after night. He would wake up sweating and aching for her, as hard as a rock. Christ, she had only been staying here a few days, and the whole place was marked by her and memories of her. Anyone else would have told him to shut the hell up moaning, but not Bronte. What the dog couldn't help him with was the answer to the question of whether this was normal. Was this what it was like when you were trying to get over someone? At first, he'd thought that this all must just be part and parcel of it. But it had been 5 weeks now, and if anything, he felt worse. It was like he was grieving, and no matter what he did, he couldn't make peace with the fact that she'd gone. He couldn't find it in himself to accept the situation and move on. Only one thing in his life was separate enough from her that it didn't make him think of her. Racing. Or so he had thought until he arrived at the test track and all of a sudden he remembered how cute she had looked that time when he'd sat her in an old sports car that was perched outside of a car museum. He couldn't even go to the gym without talking to someone who eventually asked, "You still seeing Jackson Carter?" Not once had he said no. The word never came out. He couldn't bring himself to disclaim her, to say she wasn't his, to face the fact that it was over. Somehow, there was comfort in thinking that no one yet really knew the truth. It was nice to be around people who thought the status quo hadn't changed because then he could pretend for just a while. Jesus, this really was like grieving. But was it normal? He also wanted to know if this was how Jax was feeling. Or had she moved on like she'd said she would? Did she think about him? Did she miss him? Did she still love him? Was she happy? As much of a bastard as it made him, he hoped she wasn't happy without him. He wanted her to be missing him as much as he was her. He knew that was cold and selfish, but he didn't want to believe she could cut him out as effortlessly as she'd made out that she could. So many times he'd had her number up on his BlackBerry screen with his thumb hovering over the call button, but he hadn't been able to pluck up the courage. Then one night he had finally pressed it, only to discover that she had changed her number. That just made him feel even more like crap, knowing that she genuinely didn't want to hear from him. On top of all that, he had the knowledge that she was as far away as Australia right now, the other side of the world from him. He was sorry he'd asked Warren to find out her location from Anna. He had thought it would make him feel better to at least know where she was, but he'd come to the conclusion that nothing could make him feel better short of having her there in front of him. The knock on the door had him groaning. As per usual, Bronte didn't bark. Weren't dogs supposed to go mental when someone invaded their territory? Shrug. The dog could do what the bloody hell he liked for being such a good listener. It wasn't a surprise that his visitor was Dane. His judgmental frown wasn't a shock either. And this was why Connor liked Bronte better.
"I didn't see you at the gym, so I thought I'd pop round, see if you were all right." "Why wouldn't I be all right?" "Oh, I don't know," said Dane as he lounged in one of the chairs and Connor returned to the sofa. "Maybe because you're spiraling into a state of depression, or because you haven't got the bollocks to go to the land down under and see her." "Oh, don't start, Dane. I only speak the truth. I've already told you she's told me not to go see her anyway. What's that got to do with anything? And why is there a brown stain on the leg of your pants? Don't tell me that's dog shit. Oh, it's some chocolate spread. I dropped some on my pants."
Or, more accurately, he'd thrown it in a rage when he found it under the bed and some of it splashed him as the tub burst.
Was the dog still here? Tony turned up the day Jax left, but I said I'd keep him here. And why would you do that?
Maybe it would make sense for him to get rid of Bronte and anything else that reminded him of Jax, but even though having it all around him was torture, he didn't want to let go of her. He didn't want to forget her or the laughs they'd had.
You do know Jax will want him back, don't you?
Connor's voice was like a whip.
Don't call her that. Really bothers you that, doesn't it? Soon enough, she'll be someone else's Jax, so get yourself ready for it.
Slapping his hand over his face, Connor groaned.
Dane, if you've come here to try to wind me up, then just...
Dane ignored him.
It's not like you'll get to enjoy the bliss of ignorance. It'll be all over the papers, magazines, Dane. And if she does have that Elvis wedding, the photos will be everywhere. Just out of interest, what did I do to you to deserve to listen to this?
Luring him into a false sense of security, Dane quieted for a moment, letting Connor think that torture was over.
What are you going to do if you hear she's pregnant?
Connor's eyes shot to his.
I'll support the kid, obviously. I never meant with your baby, you dumb dick. I meant with whoever she walks down the Elvis aisle with.
As Connor took a long guzzle of his beer, Dane saw just how much the idea of that pained him.
Why haven't you flown out to see her? Don't tell me it's because she asked you not to. You jetted off to the Alps without hesitation. Why not now?
In a low, toneless voice, he replied,
She said she loved me. Let me guess, you still wouldn't take things beyond casual. You guess right. Relationships are such frightening things, are they?
They were to him.
I'm not made for all that. And just what exactly did you think it was that you and Jackson had? You were faithful to her, you went on holiday with her, although, granted, it was a holiday you gate-crashed, and for Christ's sake, you even had her living with you. It might have only been for a few days, but still. Was all that really that scary? Why the hell are you here, Dane? To hammer the truth home, mate. Why else? The truth?
He echoed with a snicker.
Be honest with yourself, Connor. This is about you being worried you'll turn out anything like your parents.
When Connor's gaze whizzed sharply at him, Dane nodded.
Oh yeah, there were a lot of things you told me that night when you got rat-assed on Jackson's 15th birthday. You're nothing like your dad. You haven't got it in you to hurt a woman or a kid. If I didn't fully believe that, I never would have made you godfather of my son. Unlike him, Dane. No, being a bad-tempered bastard does not make you anything like him. Just like being able to drop people from your life doesn't make you like your mum. Does Jackson know all about him and what he did?
He shook his head. He might have told her after she revealed all that stuff about Crawley and Matthew if she hadn't followed the story up with, and now I'm leaving.
Go see her, Con. Not just because you want to see her, not just because you miss her, but because you genuinely can't function without her here, can you?
Connor buried his face in his hands, groaning.
No,
he admitted. The feeling that he needed another person wasn't something he'd ever thought would happen. But Connor really did need Jax. He had always seen her as his Achilles heel, but now that he thought about what the past 5 weeks had been like without her, he realized she was also his biggest strength.
It wouldn't be because you love her, would it?
Dane's voice was heavy with sarcasm.
Yeah, I love her,
he said in the quietest voice. At last, thought Dane.
It strikes me that you can either carry on believing what you've always believed about yourself and let your parents mess this up for you, or you can stop being a dick, get off your ass and go get her. Maybe you'll end up like me and Nikki and you'll get married one day and have some sprogs. On the other hand, maybe you'll bugger it up. But ask yourself, do you want to go through life not knowing? Do you always want to have that what-if hanging there? More to the point, Do you want to go through life without her?
He shook his head.
No. Then what are you going to do about it, you daft prick?
Ticked off. Jackson was totally and utterly ticked off. She hadn't slept one bit last night. The guests sleeping in the hotel suite above her had humped all night long. No matter what she jammed over her ears, all she could hear was, "Harder, faster, say my name, who's your daddy, and I love you, David." It turned out her suite was below the honeymoon suite. The newlyweds' activities only served to remind her that her own body was crying out for sex. If only seeing to that problem was simple. But Jackson didn't do one-night stands. She just wasn't built that way, and she didn't trust people easily enough to hand her body over to a perfect stranger. At the same time, however, she didn't want a relationship. Not right now, anyway. That only left her with the option of a casual fling. Oh, wonderful. More casual crap. The biggest problem of all was that her body just didn't seem in the slightest bit interested in anyone she met. Oh, it was horny as all hell, but it just didn't respond to anyone. Anna said some crap about Jackson currently going through a transitional phase. In other words, her body was having withdrawal symptoms from her once pretty active sex life of a month ago. So here she was, half asleep and moody, in a large drugstore in Perth, Australia, a place that was fantastic, apart from the fact that it was roasting hot and so she was in a dress. Yes, a dress. She still wasn't a big fan of those things. Of course, Ollie didn't care that she was irritated. It made her eyes feral the way he liked. Just as they did in every all-sorts store they stopped in, the store that the Allure products were exclusively available at internationally. As part of the tour, she stood on a platform with Ollie while he rambled on to the frighteningly big crowd about the essentials of skincare and big tips on makeup. Naturally, his every solution included the use of one of the Allure products, and the crowd were swallowing up every word like he was the king, just as the crowds did wherever they went. Once his mini-lesson was over, Jackson had to say a few words as the face of the campaign, and then it was question time while some small Allure samples were passed around. Once it was done, they were bombarded with people who wanted photos or autographs. Both she and Ollie obliged anyone who was within easy reach as they made their way down the cordoned-off area that led them behind the shop floor. Minutes later, they were sneaking out of a private entrance exit and jumping into their black limousine, returning to their hotel. Jackson snuggled into the back seat and closed her eyes. A little doze would do her a world of good right now.
"Are you and Anna going to spend your last day in Perth tomorrow going off to see the sights?"
asked Ollie.
"I can arrange a driver for you."
"I don't know yet," she replied tiredly. Anna had been flying to and from London to see Jackson every couple of weeks for a few days. Richie probably wouldn't have allowed the disturbance to Anna's schedule if he and Ollie hadn't been concerned about Jackson after the whole Sean thing. Apparently, the fact that she hadn't had some sort of breakdown was worrying the hell out of them. The Sean thing she could move on from without being tempted to dwell. In fact, instead of it feeling like a terrible event, it all actually gave her a sense of peace. Maybe that was because she finally felt that she'd fought back against bastards like him. Or maybe it was because now she could relax, knowing that he wouldn't be terrorizing any of the people she cared about while she was gone.
"I noticed you and Anna talking to that rock band last night who's staying in our hotel. They're on their own tour, right?"
At her nod, he continued.
"The lead singer has taken a shine to you."
A real shine to her, but much to the bloke's disappointment, she hadn't been responsive. He'd attributed it to her being with Mackenzie. The world hadn't yet realized that their relationship was over, which was good because it was giving her time to heal. But what concerned Ollie was that she wasn't healing. She was still her normal, blunt, rude, playful self. But something was missing. He wasn't sure if he most wanted to pummel Mackenzie or demand that he come and fix what he'd broken.
"Oi, did Did you see the most recent FHM magazine edition?
I can't say one of my pastimes is reading men's mags.
You got the top spot on the oddest 100 women.
She shot him a skeptical look. You're taking the mick. He chuckled at her incredulity.
Love, may God strike me down dead now if I'm lying. You've heard of the actor who seems to be Hollywood's favourite right now, Aidan Roberts, haven't you? Well, when he was asked in an interview what celebrity he would love to date, he said you.
She sighed. Ollie, stop with the Cupid crap. I'll bother with a relationship when I can be asked.
If this was Anna, you'd be just...
Oh, for the love of God, Ollie, will you shut your gob so I can sleep? He fought the urge to laugh.
Shutting up right now.
But Jackson didn't sleep. Most of the time, she managed not to think about Connor. She had accepted it was over and knew that spending time thinking about him was counterproductive to healing. Her mind understood that and was clear about moving on. Her body and soul were lagging behind. Was it possible to force yourself to stop loving someone? She wasn't optimistic, considering that she had spent the past 8 years in that state over him. Would it take 8 years to dig herself back out of it? Could she? Realizing what she was doing, she gave herself a mental slap. Hadn't she promised herself that she wouldn't pine over him, that instead of treating it as an ending, she'd look at it as the beginning of something new? In so many words, that was what Ollie was hinting at, wasn't he? Move on, make a fresh start with someone else. It was the someone else part of his solution that she had trouble with. In spite of the fact that every bone in her body was exhausted, she was strides ahead of Ollie as they exited the limo and headed into the hotel. Bed. She was going to go to her room, munch on chocolate, then collapse into bed. And if her upstairs neighbors decided to talk a bit more about who the daddy was or cry again about how much David was loved, she would go up there and give them something to really bloody cry about. Jackson stopped abruptly in her tracks in the reception area as a tingle spread down her spine and the hairs on the back of her neck rose. Someone was staring. It didn't feel wrong the way it had when Sean had watched her, but there was something intense about the gaze locked onto her, like the time at the charity event, like the time in the restaurant at the Alps. Slowly, she turned and hitched in a breath. There Connor stood about 10 feet away from her in a simple get-up of a dark blue t-shirt and blue jeans. He was still so gorgeous, masculine, and tempting that it hurt. A rush of heat and hunger assailed her as her body leaped to attention. So long. It had been so long since Connor had last been able to soak up just the mere sight of her. His pulse was racing, not just with the cravings he had for her, or the anticipation he was feeling at the prospect of touching her, but with just being near her again, and breathing the same air as her. He wanted to go to her and touch her, but she was looking pretty cheesed off. In fact, she looked like that before she even saw him. Now, it was bad. Her eyes were more feral than he'd ever seen them, but it only made his dick jerk. As she watched him advance on her, Jackson's heart went into hyperdrive. It was pulsing just as wildly as her clit. Her entire body throbbed and ached for him, which just made her want to kill him. She despised herself for the fact that she was happy to see him and tempted to feel his hands on her. Fortunately for her, she had enough anger curdling inside to fuel a decent rejection. She could do this. She could think past her need for him and her jolt of happiness at seeing him, could tell him to sod off and then walk away a third time. She had to.
"Hi, babe," he whispered as he dropped his forehead to hers and inhaled the scent of her. She was wearing her usual perfume, and it was playing with his senses and triggering memories that were only increasing his hunger for her. He didn't dare kiss her. She would probably slap him. Worse still, it wouldn't make him stop ravaging her lips. If he started, he would not stop.
You promise me no contact, she hissed.
Actually, if you think back, you'll find that I didn't promise anything.
He twirled a chocolate brown curl around his finger. God, he'd missed these wild ringlets.
I'd known deep down that I'd never be able to keep that promise.
So he just stayed quiet and let her believe what she wanted?
You devious little—
Not devious, babe. Just someone who won't give my word on something unless I'm positive I can keep it. Just someone who really needed to see you.
She bit back a growl. I'm not one of your women who'll hop, skip, and shag you whenever you turn up. Go home, Connor. Seeing that she was about to walk away, he sighed.
I had a feeling you wouldn't be reasonable.
He shrugged.
You only have yourself to blame for this.
With that, he scooped her up and threw her over his shoulder.
What the hell are you doing? Put me down!
Can't, Jack, sorry. We need to talk.
As he headed for the elevator, he noticed Ollie gawping at them. Connor raised an eyebrow, daring him to intervene, but Ollie just shrugged and sighed as if defeated.
If I wanted to talk to you, I'd have phoned.
He smiled when he felt her reaching under the waistline of his jeans, searching for his boxers.
You're wasting your time on that one. I'm going commando. You'll also notice that I fastened a belt around my jeans so you couldn't pull them up the crack of my ass.
Cursing him, she kicked her legs and beat his back with her fists.
As much as I love feeling you rubbing against me like this, you should know that the more you squirm, the higher your dress is riding up your thighs. I don't mind getting a flash, but I'm not sure you'll want everyone else to get a good look at your Brazilian.
She growled as he stepped into an elevator. An elevator that wasn't empty. Although she stopped squirming, she resumed punching his lower back and then took to scratching him under his t-shirt.
That's it, babe. I love it when you scratch me.
We'll see if you love it when I ram the heel of my shoe up your rusty bullet hole.
Dirty talk already, Jax.
She continued to struggle.
Connor Lee McKenzie.
I'm getting my full title. You must really be fuming with me right now.
Growling, she got to work on his lower back again. Then she jerked and gasped in shock as a hand came down hard on her ass.
You just spanked me, she said disbelievingly.
And in an elevator in front of people? Oh, she was going to kill him.
God, I've missed doing that.
You'll be missing your balls as well.
Exiting the elevator on the fourth floor, he took long, quick strides to the luxurious suite he'd checked into only minutes ago. Once inside, he advanced straight to the bedroom and plonked a still struggling and cursing Jax on the huge double bed. Before she had a chance to launch herself at him, he flipped her onto her stomach and pressed his body weight down on her while he secured her wrists with the cuffs he had waiting on the headboard.
Oh, you sadistic twat!
He then slid down her body, keeping his weight over her, until he reached her ankles. He then cuffed them to the bed, leaving her in a fantastic starfish pose.
Sorry, Jax, but I had to be prepared in case you wouldn't listen to me.
You think this will make me want to listen?
Well, no, but it does mean you'll have to.
He settled down beside her, but she turned her head away. Propping himself up on one elbow, he drew circles on her back through her dress, a dress that had a long zip that stopped at her pelvis, begging to be lowered.
Don't touch me!
I'm just trying to relax you, babe.
Just tell me what you want. Oh, hang on, let me guess. You were passing by and thought you'd drop in for a quickie.
Actually, I've just got off a very long flight from London to see you.
Why? Haven't you got over that addiction yet?
She snickered, trying to veil how her body was responding to his touch.
Or was it that you heard some rumor about me being with another bloke and felt compelled to come and scare him off with the caveman routine?
I'll be honest and say that it has been playing on my mind that you might be with someone, and I just can't have that, Jax.
Oh, so you get to have as many bed buddies as you like, while I have to live the life of a bleeding nun?
I haven't been with anyone since you.
Needing to taste her skin again, he kissed her shoulder. She snorted.
Like I'd believe that.
It's true.
He trailed kisses along her shoulder to her nape. Her answering shudder relieved him. She was still responsive to him, even if she wished she wasn't.